Well, are you thirsty? You're probably not thirsty for water. We've got fresh water flowing out of spigots, right? You can get a drink anytime you want. In the Bible, thirst means more than just a physical longing for hydration. People in ancient Israel were well acquainted with physical thirst. They lived in an arid climate, much like most of California, where I lived for a few years. And in California, like Israel, and I've gotten a chance to go to both, it rains in the winter and it doesn't in the summer. And so in the summer, the creeks and streams dry up and everything gets really brown and there isn't any water except what had been collected into cisterns during the winter. And you know how water in those cisterns get after a while, rather stagnant. So except for those cisterns that have collected the winter rainwater or the deep wells where you can get some more refreshing waters or even more rarely those bubbling springs that come up cold and pure from deep in the earth. That's the kind of picture that we have in the scriptures when Jesus talked about living water, flowing water, clear and pure and refreshing. In the Bible, thirst is used as a vivid illustration of the craving that one feels for an unsatisfied need, whether it is for parched lips or a parched soul. Any unsatisfied need. Last week we spoke of the spiritual suffering Jesus endured on the cross as he became sin for us, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this week, we look to the next word of the cross, the next statement that Jesus spoke as he experienced physical suffering for us. Well, let's listen to God's word this morning. It's from John 19. 28 and 29, just two verses. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And now a vessel of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled the sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it up to his mouth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in these two brief verses, would you communicate to us our need for you, our thirst of heart and soul, and understand Jesus' physical thirst on the cross, but how he came that he might fulfill our spiritual thirst for you. Would you be our teacher this morning and help us to receive your word in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been going through a series of messages on the words from the cross, the statements that Jesus spoke with his dying breaths. And in this week, we come to the fifth of those statements. It is a word of suffering when in utter agony, Jesus said simply, I thirst. He who promised the water of life to all who believe spoke through parched lips an insatiable thirst. Jesus' thirst was not simply the normal craving for hydration, like when we've worked for hours out in the hot sun, our clothes drenched with perspiration and our mouths dry and craving that cold glass of water or iced tea. No liquid had touched Jesus' lips since the night before when he drank of the cup in the Last Supper with his disciples. Jesus had been hanging upon that cross now for close to 6 hours. It was almost 3 in the afternoon, And even before Jesus was nailed to that cross, hanging in the hot mid-eastern sun, even before that, he had lost much blood, having been whipped until his back and sides were a bloody pulp. A crown of thorns had been pressed with brutal efficiency upon his head, and blood flowed down his face. And the scripture says, and now Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, and that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. It was the first word that Jesus spoke regarding his own suffering on that cross, but there's something far deeper in those words. Fulfilling the scriptures. Yes, there was one more scripture to fulfill from Psalm 69, verse 21. It says, they gave me gall for my food. And gall was literally a type of a poison if you ate enough of it, but it was used as an anesthetic to deaden the pain. And he was offered, Jesus was offered that before they nailed him down to the wood. And they would do that so the prisoners wouldn't be struggling so much. They'd be sedated as they drove those nails, iron spikes through flesh into wood. But Jesus refused that. Jesus refused any anesthetic because he would feel the full weight of sin. Doing this for us, he wouldn't turn away from any bit of the pain that he would suffer. So he had refused the gall, but now it says they gave me vinegar for my thirst. And that was a part of the scripture now that he fulfilled by saying, I thirst, and they brought it to him, and he just had a little bit to dampen his tongue and his lips. So on the cross, Jesus said, I thirst. Of course, Jesus had been thirsty before. Who hasn't? He had once asked a woman at a well in Samaria, will you give me a drink? And the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him for a drink. And he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where will you get this living water? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. And yet, the one who spoke those words of never thirsting, now on the cross was bringing that living water to the world. How is it that Jesus, who told his disciples, whoever believes in me will never thirst, now cries out from the cross, I thirst. I'm thirsty. Here is the one, the living Word, who by his power created the world itself, and by him the heavens were made to rain down moisture onto the earth to satisfy a thirsty world, whose hands created the mighty rivers, and now this God thirsted because he became a human being to suffer with us, to suffer for us. And the thirst of the souls of humanity was being quenched that day, accompanied by a great physical thirst of the Savior. Every form of life must have water. It's an absolute essential for life itself. A human being can live more than a month without food, but only a matter of days without water. Hunger pains of a starving person will eventually cease, but the burning thirst of one denied water simply can't be ignored. It has to be quenched. Thirst is such a powerful, powerful need. And Jesus knew every depth of human suffering and the horror of literally thirsting to death. We are thirsty people because we do not believe God can truly satisfy. Let that sink in a minute. We are thirsty people because we're not quite sure if this God can satisfy our needs. After all sin at its core is believing God is not enough for our need, for our desires, for our wants, and we look for them to be met in some other way. We're gonna do it ourselves. The sin I call of self-sufficient lives. Instead of drinking deeply of the water of life that Jesus came to give, of turning to God and finding in Him the full satisfaction for all our needs. And I'm speaking out of my own need. I'm thirsty. And I think that I can be satisfied in other ways than with God. When the Feast of Tabernacles was approaching, great time of celebration for the people of Israel, and the Jews from all over Israel were beginning to travel to Jerusalem for this joyous celebration, which in the New Testament times lasted for 8 days, this feast commemorated God's provision for the people of Israel during the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness, where God provided manna to eat and to drink. What did God do? He caused water to gush out of a solid rock, gushed forth for them to drink. It's interesting that Paul in 1 Corinthians tells us that that rock was Christ. He is the one by which we get living water. So with this in mind, as with that backdrop of this celebration where they're going to think about wandering in the wilderness, the Feast of Tabernacles, where God provided bread to eat and water to drink, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." The next chapter in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, it says, "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him.' And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who would believe in him would later receive." See, each day of the festival, the people came with their palm branches to the temple and marched around the great altar. At the same time, the high priest took a golden pitcher and went down to the pool of Siloam and filled that pitcher up, and with great pomp and circumstance marched on through, and the people would recite from Isaiah chapter 12, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." You get the picture here? This great procession of enjoying the water that God gives us to water the earth and to grow the crops and all of that. The water was carried up to the temple altar and poured out as an offering to God, thanking Him for the rains and for the harvest. And it was a time of great joy. And against this backdrop, and perhaps at that very moment, it says that Jesus' voice rang out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him, as the scripture has said." And there isn't just one scripture that talks about this streams of flowing water. Well, there's a number of scriptures that talk about the new temple that God will build. And from the very temple of God will flow an ever-flowing stream from it. And we get this picture, of course, in the book of Revelation, the stream of life flowing from the throne of God. And where is God's temple right now? It isn't in Israel. You who believe in Jesus Christ are the temple of God. And he says, out of you are going to flow rivers of water. God's going to flow into us the magnificence of his Spirit himself to quench our thirst, and it's going to flow out. Flow out of us, out of you, out of them will flow rivers of living water and overflow that is unimaginable. Unimaginable. Are you thirsting for God? Thirst for God, as David did in Psalm 42. It says, as a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. That thirst God intends to quench. Isaiah 44 says, for I will pour water out on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplars by flowing streams. Or Isaiah 55, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Or Isaiah 58, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Can God meet our needs? Can he satisfy us? I need that myself. There are many times I've cried out to God and says, God, you said, my soul shall be satisfied. Oh, Lord, come and satisfy the thirst of my heart and soul. My thoughts are going far away from you. Maybe you've had those moments where you think that, no, just a bit of revenge, that's a good thing. Or something else to comfort my heart or take my thoughts off of the things, the troubles I'm going through. There's all sorts of ways we try to satisfy our needs in something else other than him. Something else other than God. Hudson Taylor, one of my heroes of faith, way back in the 1850s, 60s, was a pioneer missionary to China, went through unbelievable hardship to bring the gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ to the interior of China. Hudson Taylor wrote in his biography, who does not thirst? Who has not mind thirst and heart thirst and soul thirst and body thirst? And no matter which of them we have or whether we have them all, Jesus said, come to me and remain thirsty? Oh no, come to me and drink. Can Jesus meet my need, he went on to write? Oh, yes, and more than meet it. No matter how difficult my service, no matter how sad my bereavement, he had lost several children on the mission field, eventually would lose his wife. No matter how far away my loved ones, no matter how helpless I am, how deep are my soul yearnings, Jesus can meet all and more than meet. Come unto me and drink, Jesus said. Oh, not come and take a hasty draught. Not come and be slightly alleviated of my thirst, or for a short time remove it. Oh, no. Jesus said, drink. Rather, be drinking constantly, habitually. For that's what the Greek language, the scripture means there. Be constantly, habitually drinking. The cause of thirst may be irremediable. One coming, one drinking may refresh and comfort, but we are to be ever coming, ever drinking. No fear of emptying the fountain or exhausting the river. Can God meet your need? Yes, and more than meet it. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsting for God? That's who will really be able to satisfy. Jesus said these words in John 7:37. And again, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. There's three responses here that are required. First of all, you've got to understand your thirst. If you're not thirsty, you're not going to come to God. If you don't understand how desperately in need you are of Him and of His blessings, of forgiveness, of life itself, of comfort, of strength, oh, immeasurable things that we stand in need of. If we're not understanding our thirst, we won't come to Him. But that's not enough just to understand we're thirsty. But Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come. We need to come to Jesus. And there are many that come to Jesus and they come to church and they sing about Jesus, but that's it. They just come, but they don't drink. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Drinking is to receive what He has for us. It needs to receive Him into our heart and life. Says, yes, Jesus, I need You. I want You. And You tell me that if I believe in You, I come to You and drink, You will receive Your presence in my life, this Holy Spirit that will come and fill me and satisfy me, so much so that streams of living water will flow from me. Are you thirsty? Do you thirst? Have you come to Jesus? Have you drunk deeply? And are you drinking deeply daily from His Word, from all that He has for us, from His presence in prayer? Are you drinking and is your soul satisfied? Are you satisfied with God? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are Your words. Oh, Father God, help us to understand our deep thirst, our desperate need for You. Lord, we die if we don't drink. And Lord, we are dead without Your life-giving water, which You have flooded us with through Jesus Christ. May we drink deeply of Him daily and be satisfied with Him. Oh, Lord, if there's anyone here that's not received Him, drunk from the water of life, Father, may this day they take a deep draught and have their eternal thirst satisfied. For with You is the water of life. With You are the wells of salvation. We praise You for that in Jesus' name. Amen.